everybody. This is Mike Gorshan, and this is the series on North American sustainability from the North American Institute
and the state of New Mexico.
And our first series called The Water Dialogues is on water security. And today we have David Barkin, the full professor at the Metropolitan Autonomous University in Mexico City.
Got my formal training in economics at Yale University in the United States and have been in Latin America for about 45 years. And I've written about a dozen books on water.
Before we get into the policy piece of this, can you talk a little bit about the condition of water in Mexico?
Mexico is endowed with gigantic quantities of water, but like most places in the world, it's very, very badly distributed. About more than one third of the water is in the southern part of the country, where very, very little of the population is. And most of the water, the population concentration in the Mexico City metropolitan area or in the northern states is in the area where water is relatively scarce. In the northern parts of the states, the country, the geography is frankly arid, much like the area where you're talking from, New Mexico, Arizona. Mexico suffers from a problem of water stress in most of its population. Ironically, in the water surplus areas, the people are often meeting with disasters because of an excess of water, and in the northern part of the country, they meet with stress because of a lack of water. Now, this also means that there are some 500 river basins in the country, or watersheds in the country, and more than 40% of those watersheds are considered officially by the government agencies to be under hydric stress. What does that mean? It means that the withdrawals from those watersheds are greater than the recharge rate, and all of those watersheds then are declining. That has a further implication. The central part of Mexico, straight up to Las Vegas, Nevada, has a geological composition which is high in arsenic. As a result of that, as the water levels go down in these aquifers, drawing up water through pumping for agricultural and urban industrial use has led to a tremendous increase in the quantity of arsenic, in dissolved arsenic in the water.
While being in the West, I understand the issue of arsenic. Can you just briefly explain that?
The international standard for arsenic, for safe level of arsenic in water, might be 0.003, whereas in the northern state of Chihuahua and Coahuila, it's at about anywhere from 150 to 350. And in the state of Guanajuato, in the eastern part of the state of Guanajuato, it's up to 500 parts per billion. Where only 2 weeks ago, we're talking about the middle of March, so in the middle of February, a boy fell into a river in the Guadalajara metropolitan area and died, not from drowning, but from arsenic poisoning, not from the natural groundwater contamination, but he died from arsenic intoxication because of the runoff from industrial effluent.
I'd like to know a little bit more of the role of the Mexican federal government versus the states of Mexico versus the cities and municipal governments, and a little bit about who is in control of the water in Mexico.
Under the Constitution, all water resources are under the direct control of the federal government, and there's no private property of water. You can't own private water rights as you can in the western part of the United States. Even if you own a piece of land, you don't necessarily have the water rights to the water under that. Those water rights must be negotiated with the federal authority. Now, that has lots of very, very complex implications, as you might imagine, because the question is, if those water rights are distributed in an equitable and in a socially just manner, then it would be just fine. But if those water rights are distributed on the basis of the exercise of political and economic power, then what you have is water further heightening social and economic inequalities within the country. And that's, in fact, what has happened over the past 90 years.
Mexico has designs and should, by all rights, be an emerging world power. without a sound water policy, besides human needs, there's electricity, there's agriculture, there's ranching, there's all sorts of things that they will depend on to become this world power. And from this discussion, I see it as a weakness. What are some of the solutions that could be out there?
I think it should be said, first of all, that Mexico has one of the largest proportions of hydroelectric generated power in the world. And yet, the management of that hydroelectric system has been so questionable, and the priorities of that system are such that at the present time, the hydroelectric system is in fact poses a threat of natural disaster in the areas where those hydroelectric dams are. I can give you one particular example. Late last year, the second largest river in the country was the cause of massive flooding, which led to billions of dollars of damage in the state of Tabasco and in the city called Villahermosa, because the federal authorities released water from a dam without giving any notice to the people and without planning for a measured response to that. It was an absolutely, from any point of view, a political and an ethical lack of responsibility that caused damage greater than the scale of damage that was occasioned in New Orleans. Quite specifically, we have within the guidelines of the new culture of water approach, we have made a series of management and allocation proposals for every one of the major metropolitan areas in the country, and a process and an implementation process which would involve getting a collaborative effort between local citizen participation processes and governmental authorities to dictate the nature of the management assist to solve, to confront the challenges in each one of the watersheds.
What do you see over the next 4 or 5 years with water situation in Mexico, and does it include the United States and Canada? Do other countries get involved?
One of the things that I haven't talked about in this discussion at all is the problem in the border area, which is a major problem, and it's getting worse because of the water problems in the United States, which means that the United States is not fulfilling its treaty obligations to manage the Colorado River so that the people who depend upon the Colorado River in Mexico get their fair share, their politically agreed share of that water. The problem is that in the Sea of Cortez, which is the California Gulf between Baja California and the mainland of Mexico, there are major species that are threatened with extinction because of the quality of water that's being dumped in there from the effluent from the Colorado River, because of the high concentration of agricultural runoff, chemical runoff from the United States. A very, very serious problem that threatens human and biological life. I think many of us see the prospect as a major national security problem in Mexico, because substantial quantities, increasing segments of the Mexican population are getting declining quality of water, and many of them are now reacting by trying to defend the water rights and the water resources which they currently have. And the government is trying to take these resources and put them to the use for major investment programs. As a result, there are all sorts of political conflicts that differ from region to region, have a common characteristic, and that is the common characteristic is that of, at the present time, the struggle over water is the struggle between people and ecosystems getting basic quantities of water for their own survival, as opposed to industries getting water for private profit. One of the consequences of that is that California agribusiness is moving to Mexico under a system because of limited migration, so that you have literally tens of thousands of agricultural agribusiness in the United States coming down to Mexico and setting up systems which require great amounts of water. In Mexico, there's some sort of glee with this because it involves creating jobs.
Well, thank you, David Barkin. Thank you, North American Institute and State of New Mexico. And we'll be back with you soon.